Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game made break the record for the most watched regular season game in NFL history. Of course, we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Thanksgiving Eve, Pearl, which is always fun. If you're on the roads, please be safe. But we're asking who needs this game more.
Yeah. Well, both teams, actually, I guess the Cowboys need it less because they can afford a loss. The Chiefs probably can't afford a loss. The tiebreakers do not work out well for the Chiefs, which is really interesting. So I think the Chiefs need it more, but both teams desperately need it. The Cowboys can afford one loss the rest of the season and still hope to make the playoffs. Chiefs might not have that luxury.
Okay, so this is weird because I would tend to agree with you, but if you look at the playoff predictor, which I've become a little obsessed with around here, it's the one from The Athletic, which is the New York Times. They'll tell you that it's absolutely Dallas, and there's not even a question. Right now, the odds that Dallas makes the postseason is 13%. I know, Manny loves making fun of me whenever I go to the playoff predictor, but 13%, Pearl, and if they lose to the Chiefs, it goes down to 5%. So that's at least one playoff simulator out there that's telling you this is dire for Dallas. Meanwhile, Kansas City, sitting at 61% shot to make the playoffs, if they lose, goes down to 48%, not nearly the back-against-the-wall situation that Dallas appears to be in.
Well, Dallas can afford one loss, though, right? So if they win this game, then it's really, really on. But if they lose this game, then it all comes down to Detroit next week. And the question is, how good is Detroit? Because I'm assuming Dallas can run their last four if they need to.
Okay, so Dallas at 5-5-1 right now. Yeah. Obviously, the big game against Kansas City. It's the middle game on Thanksgiving. Then at Detroit, Minnesota, the Chargers, at Washington, at the Giants. Here's the thing about like assuming that Dallas could run the table on anybody and anything. I'll give you this: Dallas is playing a lot better. The defense actually looks good. You know, whether it was a mistake to trade away Parsons and they've been chasing that. A conversation for another day. What happens now is they do have Quinnen Williams. They do have Logan Wilson. They did get guys back from injury, and this thing is coming together, and they have been able to stop the run. Now, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be back for this game, so we'll see if Andy Reid actually commits to the run like he did last week against the Colts. This could be a thing. But Dallas is playing better, but I still don't trust them to rattle off four in a row.
I mean, it's a matter of their competition, the four in a row at the end, because the Chargers just got blown out by Jacksonville. I'm assuming the Chargers don't right the ship because of injuries. That's a big assumption. But Minnesota, if they can't beat Minnesota, they don't deserve to be there. And then the Commanders are interesting because Jaden Daniels comes back, but their problem is their defense more than anything. I mean, the Cowboys should be pretty heavy favored. And then the Giants, I mean, it'd be pretty funny if Jameis played spoiler, but come on. They're one of the bottom three teams in the league. Like, that is, there is no excuse. If Dallas got all the way there where they're still alive and lost to the Giants in week 18, that would be high comedy.
Well, the Giants are in all these games.
And especially late in the season, they love to win an irrelevant game at the end of the season to my New York football Giants to screw themselves of draft positioning.
Yeah.
They love to do
it. This year it doesn't matter because they have a quarterback, so they don't need to tank. Well, but I mean, the Cowboys get all the way there and then lose to the Giants. It just can't happen.
By the way,
the eye of a tiger.
Not to make this a Giants conversation, but wouldn't Jackson Dart be back by then?
Oh yeah, he should be back this weekend.
Right. This is not going to might not even be a Jameis game, so you might have guys rallying around the rookie. I have no idea, but we're talking about Kansas City and Dallas here, and who needs it more? And you know, I'm going to be honest. I actually do think it's Kansas City, and here's why. Nobody was expecting Dallas to be a playoff team. And I've said it this whole time. The expectations will kill you here if you're Dallas. Because now if you flip the switch in your brain as a Cowboy fan to think, oh, we are a playoff team. Well, I'm sorry. I think it's too little too late. This is all about next year now. Have a good runway for next year. You've got something going. Hopefully you stay healthy. You have a good offseason. Get George Pickens either done or franchise tag or whatever you're going to do to keep Pickens around. Try to keep him happy. And that's where the focus needs to be. Maybe in shoring up the offensive line a little bit more. To me, Kansas City, they're the dynasty of our time. Kansas City is the ultimate boogeyman. Down by 10 points in multiple Super Bowls, come back to win. Down in this last game where the Colts really could have ended, by all intents and purposes, could have ended their playoff chances. Didn't do it. Patrick Mahomes comes back, wills them to a win. Defense looks great. If you have Kansas City, who is that ultimate team, you can't miss the playoffs. Like, even in the Tom Brady, like, some of his years, pro where they didn't win the Super Bowl, he didn't miss the playoffs completely.
Yeah, right. But there's a lot going on here. They were without Rashee Rice for the first part of the season because he's a knucklehead. That destroyed
them. They didn't have him all last season. They were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but generally, it took a long time this year to get the offensive line going. They're just not as explosive or good this year. No, there's no doubt about it. But that doesn't change what's happening here this week. I mean, the funny thing is, if they get in the playoffs, they're the Vegas favorite by far. But it doesn't feel weird. It doesn't feel as weird to me as you're describing. I don't know. For some reason, it attracts that they could either miss the playoffs or win the Super Bowl. It just makes sense to me. Maybe we've been talking about it like that so much. They are a team that last year won all these narrow games. This year, losing them all, you kind of assume that luck will turn around and they'll win a bunch of close games late in the season. But they are playing with so much fire. If they lose this game, they go to 6-6, then you really have to squint.
You think they're playing well, the Chiefs?
I mean, I think they're playing almost exactly the way they did last year. They're definitely not playing well. I just said they're clearly not playing well.
I thought you said they're on fire. No.
What?
No?
Okay. No. I'm saying they're clearly not playing well. Like, something's wrong, but you assume the luck will turn around in these close games.
Gotcha.
Right? I think that's what Vegas assumes. You know, the game they lost to the Broncos, everyone assumes they'll win that when it counts. I think. I mean, I think that's why we all view Kansas City as the favorite. What is it? What other factors would there be? Because they're not explosive on offense. There's no doubt about it. Andy Reid's gotten really conservative in his old age, which I kind of like, but they can't keep losing these close games. They have Patrick Mahomes. So if it's a playoff game and they're down three against Bo Nix, they're obviously going to win that.
Yeah, I mean, was not able to win it in Denver.
Yeah, but I think that'll turn around. It seems like a luck factor to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that by the time they get to that Denver game, which is the second to last game of the season, that it doesn't even matter. Like, they could be out.
Right.
If you lose to Dallas, if you lose to Houston, you know, if somehow the Chargers beat you again, I'll give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt. Like, you'll believe it when you see it. But they've really messed around this year. You know, you mentioned it. They don't have tiebreakers against Buffalo. They don't have tiebreakers against Houston, right? Jacksonville, excuse me. I mean, there's a lot of tough moments from this team. And it's funny because we thought we were going to see a totally different offense this year. Remember? It was like, well, they're really going to open things up now. And Rice is back and Xavier Worthy and, you know, Hollywood Brown. And I know that Xavier Worthy's dealt with some injuries and Rashee Rice with a suspension. But where's the vertical offense? To not make the playoffs? I mean, I think that's a terrible indictment on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, for some reason, it doesn't feel quite that. I don't get the same vibe that it would be a terrible indictment on them because you know, they kind of, they remind me so much of last year, except they're not winning the close games. Like, what's the big, what is actually, if try and put your finger on it, Maggie, what's the big difference between this year and last year? It's obviously the close games are losing them all this year, but why? I'm not even sure I know why. I can't figure it out exactly.
I think at times it was the defense, and then at times it's been the offense. Like, I do think it's kind of a full throttle, full team, rather. I want to say failure yet, because they may still make the playoffs, but I think it's been different things at different times.
I think it's really been, the offense is not explosive, right? Mahomes has missed some throws that he normally doesn't miss. His deep throws have not been effective. The run game is never scaring anybody. I mean, this run game is...
Yeah.
Last week, they, credit to them, they did run the ball 30 times, but there's no explosive runs. They're just, you're right, they promised they were going to be explosive, but they absolutely are not.
Well, remember, Patrick Mahomes was the leading rusher for most of the season. He might actually still be, as far as total yardage. I don't have it in front of me. But
yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes will run in close games. Now, what happened this week was, for most of the game, Lou Anarumo, the Colts defensive coordinator, spied the heck out of him. Now, that's what you got to do. I think they laid out, if you're playing the Chiefs, people figured out, it's the fourth quarter, there's one man who's going to beat you, right? So you just run around and try to catch him.
The only problem with that, there's no problem, it's a smart game plan, but when you're playing an Arrowhead, if you are spying Mahomes and if you're trying to get physical with him, what's going to happen? You're going to get called for penalties. There are two roughing the passers that the Colts got called for in the first half alone. Like, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt at home.
But not downfield, though.
No, when, no,
those
not that
are often in the pocket.
Or when he's scrambling back there, you touch him.
Yeah.
You might be getting a flag.
Well, the spy, I think, is important. Don't let him get the first down. Stay 10 yards downfield. And I've always wondered, you should definitely spy Josh Allen, but I think the spy is usually not big enough to tackle him.
He's a little bit different.
Yeah, but you should definitely spy. I mean, obviously, if the Bills took out Josh Allen's running ability, they're probably a 500 team at best. And the Eagles are the same way. If Jalen Hurts says it does not get off his butt and start running, they're going to start losing down the stretch too. So I think that ultimately you trust Mahomes, but something around him is just a little bit off. By the way, I think the Chiefs have a great chance to win this game and kind of get things headed in the right direction. They're favored. Dallas is playing very well, but I think you're going to see a desperate Chiefs where Mahomes come fourth quarter is going to keep plays alive, scramble, and find a way. Until he's actually out of the playoffs, Maggie, there's no way I'm betting against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and honestly, the Colts did have a big opportunity that they squandered in overtime to not be able to try to bury Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But if you're asking who actually needs this game more, the numbers would tell you it's Dallas, if they have any outside shot of making the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the Dallas can afford one loss. So the two toughest games are KC and Detroit. Then it gets a lot easier. We'll see. If Dallas wins this game, then it's going to be a hype train. It's going to be all about, here come them boys. Jerry is going to be on a victory tour that's going to last for 3 weeks, and he won't even notice if they're out of the playoffs. He's going to be so high after winning this game.
What's so funny is the game before is obviously Packers-Lions. So if somehow the Lions beat the Packers and Micah Parsons, say, like, doesn't have a big game, and then you go right into the Cowboy game and somehow they beat Patrick Mahomes, oh, Jerry's going to be so high on his own
Michael
supply.
Michael Parsons.
He's going to be high on scotch as well.
We know he likes it.
All right, this Thanksgiving game is going to be insane. Post Malone's playing halftime. It's going to be, if it's a close game, it's going to have Super Bowl numbers. I mean, really, it's going to be totally insane. Just the fact that they both need a win here worked out so well for the NFL.
How many people do you think are rearranging when they're eating for this game?
Oh, I thought you were going to say for the Post Malone halftime performance.
Everyone shush, Post Malone.
It definitely will be lip synced. Is there any doubt in anyone's mind?
No. Was it Jack Harlow? Remember Jack Harlow in Detroit with had to be the lowest budget NFL halftime show.
Well, then
ever.
Last year, was that last year where Beyonce did the blew away the halftime show, the actual
Super Bowl? Last year.
With like a horse and coverage.
A Beyonce concert and a football game was sort of happening.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad. Who did the halftime last year?
Kendrick.
Oh, well, Kendrick was good. But generally, like, that Beyonce was too good for a halftime show for the regular season.
And then
it made everyone else look
Christmas,
bad.
It was Christmas, though. It wasn't Thanksgiving.
Oh, sorry, it was Christmas. It was Christmas. Sorry.
Can't forget about Carol G's performance earlier this season.
Yeah,
she's
that
got
was...
the pineapples on the tata.
You're not going to forget about it.
I was impressed.
We'll never forget her.
It's like, E. Geddes, who is that woman? Anyway, do you think people are rearranging their Thanksgiving dinner because of this Cowboys Chiefs game? Like, if you're someone who usually eats around 4 or 5, are you like, you know what? Why don't we back it up to like 2 o'clock this year?
Well, the game goes on 4:30 to 7:30. I would hope you had your Thanksgiving dinner by then.
But that's prime eating time on the East Coast.
You might miss some of the first half.
I don't understand some of the people in the United States at what time they eat dinner. You eat Thanksgiving dinner at dinner time, which is like 7, 8 o'clock at night. Yeah. Why are you guys eating at 3 o'clock?
Oh, there's a long tradition of eating Thanksgiving during the day. That's a thing.
No. My family used to be like you, Manny. We would eat at regular dinner time.
Yeah, bro. Is Thanksgiving dinner. Eat it at dinner time.
Yeah, no.
You watch it during the end of the Cowboys game into the 8 o'clock game.
Gonna be honest, I got to take the L on this one. I think my family was wrong about this. It is. It's cool to eat during the day. It's what like time, it's like a big lunch.
What time do you guys start cooking? I don't get it.
Early.
Yeah.
So dude, we do a morning show. Early mornings, this is when we thrive.
It's a holiday. It's supposed to be taking, not supposed to be another work day.
That's such a man's view.
You are supposed to.
You think women are putting their feet up on holidays, guys? Get a clue.
It's Thanksgiving. What you do is you wake up at 12 o'clock and half an hour later, you got the Lions playing football.
Yeah.
Facts.
That's Thanksgiving.
That is, what are you, home from college?
Kind of.
Permanently?
Yes.
No, it's kind of a bummer. Nice. The night game is not good. That is going to be bad.
I fall asleep during night game every year.
Yeah, no, it's like you need it to be great to stay awake.
It's been great probably.
This is not going to be good. Asleep. The Ravens have been very hard to watch this year.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow's back.
Even so, yeah, I mean, what's the point, though?
Well, I don't know. But I wouldn't play him if I were the Bengals. But listen, they're trying to prove a point that he's... I have no idea.
No. I mean, even what's the point of the game? If the Bengals win, there's no, because of what you just said, there's no story. Like, they're 4-8.
No, they play spoiler.
Spoiler doesn't do it for me. I'm not a big, this is exciting to watch a spoiler. I need more stakes. And the Ravens is just, let's play a drinking game. How many times is Kyle Hamilton going to come on and off the field with a minor injury?
Oh, I can't wait
to make it to my wedding. Bro.
6 to 10. Why? Because
I'm not going to make it if I have to play that drinking game.
Yeah. I just think this is that you're right. The 8:20 NFL Network game is always like you're exhausted at that point. It's hard.
It's a long day of eating and drinking. Warrior. You know.
And I'm very disappointed too. Black Friday, the Eagles are playing against the Bears. Great game. I'm used to having the Jets on Black Friday, so I can do other things.
Well,
thank God that's not happening again.
Wasn't it just one game? Do you remember when Mike White?
Game. I think that's every Black Friday game.
It was the Hail Mary.
No, it wasn't Mike White. It was Boyle. Tim Boyle.
Oh, Tim Boyle. Yes, against Tua.
Yeah, the pick six Hail Mary.
Pick six Hail Mary. Never say anything like it. Never will again.
I still say worse than the Buff Fumble. I'm sorry.
Worse than the Buff Fumble?
I will always contend that was worse than the Buff Fumble. The Buff Fumble, I feel like you could see happen again. You will never see a team throw a pick six off a Hail Mary. Are you kidding me? That's insane.
Okay, but what are we doing funnier? Funnier the Buff Fumble.
I'm saying worse. Meanwhile, more embarrassing.
That was also on a holiday. Buff Fumble was on Thanksgiving. And if we knew then what we know now about Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. Not
what's
the worst thing that happened.
What's the latest?
To him.
Yeah, little did we know what was coming his way.
Oh, yeah, we did know. We did learn stuff this week, right? About St. Elmo's being part of this somehow.
Yes.
Yeah,
the St. famous Elmo's steakhouse pearl got.
In the lawsuit.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, so the update.
That's the restaurant that he was behind?
So
looks like he was he ventured there at one point in the night, became inebriated there, was overserved, and that's why St. Elmo's is in the lawsuit now.
Yep. Manny got it. So the famous steakhouse where the best thing on the menu is shrimp cocktail. Meanwhile, there's not an ocean for 3,000 miles. It is good, though. It's spicy. He was there. And he was drinking there. Or
shame.
I guess they have a sister bar also, and he might have been in that one.
I think he was at both, actually.
You and I had a meal there, right?
I've eaten there twice.
I just remember, this is totally, maybe I'm getting all my memories confused. Did Mike Tannenbaum come up to you once at St. Elmo's Fire when you were walking with me? Or
St. Elmo's Fire?
St. Elmo's Fire.
Great song.
Yes, actually, because I'm friends with Mike Tannenbaum. So he may have come
so
up
So were
to
you with me? Oh, you don't remember maybe. This whole interaction.
I don't. What did he say?
Oh, he was just really
remember
happy.
That butt fumble?
As I remember, he was really happy to see you. He was an agent at the time.
He did want to be my agent at one point.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
It is. Mike Tannenbaum, the former GM of the Jets and the Dolphins, did want to be my agent. And I said, I would love to have you as my agent. I feel like you're going to go back
to the NFL,
to being a GM. Actually, he was only the GM of the Jets at that time. And I said, I feel like, you know, if the opportunity comes, you're just going to, you know, jump at the next opportunity to be a GM. And I don't know if I want someone, then I'm going to get passed off to somebody else.
Yeah, and then suddenly, who's in Maggie Gray?
Exactly.
Who am I anyway?
But anyway, so he goes, and he was very honest. He goes, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if another GM job becomes open and I get it, I am going to go back to being a GM. I said, okay, great. Then let's just agree to be friends. Thank you so much for talking with me, the interest, all that. And we've been friends ever since. And like, I think 6 to 9 months later, he got the Dolphins job.
But he was
representing Steve Kerr at the time, who was in the media.
Yeah. Oh,
that's very admirable, by the way, to be like, you know,
totally
we talked about Lane Kiffin, whether or not this was in his situation, whether or not he's being honest or if there's morals. Like, that's someone saying, yeah, I'm going to take this job if it comes up. And I wonder if Lane Kiffin's told that to Ole Miss, if he's told those players.
You know, I don't
know.
Or at
least some of them.
Because he's in a tricky spot, Lane Kiffin. I'm not, you know, crying for him, but do you tell the team, hey, I'm leaving? I feel like we would have learned that. Because how do you keep 100 people secret?
Yeah, no, that's, you're absolutely right. There's no way he could have told them that and risk it coming out.
But the other part, too, about Lane Kiffin is, what do we think's going to happen, guys? Like, if he's going to announce that he's staying, you announce that before the must-win game. Not after.
Yeah, that's a good point. It does seem like a long shot that'll stay.
I think the question is just, where is he going to go? Do you still think it's LSU or do you think it's Florida?
I think all the tea leaves point to LSU. It feels like the internet is predicting LSU, for what that's worth.
I think it's when the report came out, they were preparing $98 million contract and everyone just kind of assumed, all right, you're going to take that.
Right. It was what, 93 Ole Miss got up to, or like low 90s. So it's pretty close. I mean, is it really the money at that point? I don't think so, because if the moving expenses alone, Maggie, to go from Mississippi to LSU.
$7 million?
You know what I think? I like this theory that the person who's orchestrated all this is Nick Saban, and he's very connected to LSU. For whatever reason, it seems like Nick Saban and LSU have deep ties now, which doesn't make any sense because he was at Alabama for so long. So I kind of think it's a Saban-Kiffin kind of thing based on not actual facts, but it does feel like Saban has been talking about Lane Kiffin all year long, and like they're very, very close.
He was very defensive of him on game day.
Oh my gosh, he loves Lane Kiffin.
Why does Saban care if Lane Kiffin takes the LSU job or stays at Ole Miss or goes to Florida?
Remember, there was that rumor that Saban was going to go back to LSU. It does seem like Saban is very connected to LSU.
No, that's fine, but he's got a million guys in his coaching tree.
But Lane's his guy.
I think
he fired Lane before a national championship game.
He's a weird guy in the sense that he doesn't want to be like the quote unquote new commissioner of college football, but I think he likes being a power broker.
Oh, definitely.
I think he likes kind of having big influence on college football. I think that's why he took that game day job. I think it's a big platform for him to get his thoughts about the way the sport's being run out. So I could see him saying, like, you know what, this is best for the sport to have a coach the caliber of Lane Kiffin coaching at a primetime school like LSU.
But see, to me, if I'm Saban, I'm using my power, influence, whatever you want to say, soft power, for something much bigger than getting Lane a job.
But he loves his assistants. And
he's been trying. He's been trying to do the NIL thing for the last, he talked to President Trump.
I'm telling you, he should do the bigger picture stuff. I'm saying the macro stuff, and NIL, change the time of the transfer portal, change all that stuff, fantastic. The micro, like, teams are lining up to give Lane millions and millions of dollars. Does he really need to, you know, move his hand, like, you know, or help influence
him? He just gives me Coach K vibes. Coach K was the same way in college basketball. I know it's no different, but I mean, the reporting, I think, from Ian O'Connor was that Duke was preparing to give Tommy Amaker the job, and Coach K said, not so fast.
Tommy Amaker said that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that Saban loved that feature when all his assistant coaches said, we love you, Nick Saban. Like, that was a big deal to Nick Saban. So I think that's a big part of his personality.
All right, we're going to do some cool stuff today. Top of the hour, we'll do our great debate, holiday-themed, but we will also do Maggie and Perloff, King of the Mountain today, the search for the greatest NFL team of all time.
Bears!
Yeah, 85 Bears, still top of the mountain. We'll see who the new challenger is today as we count down, Pearl, and try to find the greatest NFL team of all time.
It's going to be tough to knock them off.
We'll see who is the next up. Next, M&P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So Maggie was upset because Manny was playing Christmas music, so we found a Thanksgiving song that EJ loves, and I know why you love it now.
Why?
Because you love mac and cheese on Thanksgiving more than anything in the world.
That's true.
Well, you were talking about it yesterday.
Yes, that is a fact. But, I mean, that's not also why I love it. Cordae is a phenomenal rapper, and this album was great. And who does Thanksgiving songs? Nobody. And he took the challenge.
I think there's a reason why, because those 30 seconds were god-awful.
Are you kidding me?
Man,
Listen,
you just got
to... I think I would rather listen to...
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
No, please. Anything but Hunter Yurecek, the college football playoff committee commissioner, whatever his name is.
Well, the Grammys disagreed, Manny, because he was nominated for a Grammy for that album.
For the album. The state of hip hop music right now.
How about this? As far as obscure, a little more obscure holidays to rap about, what's better, this song about Thanksgiving,
Easter,
or Outkast's song about Valentine's Day? That's a great song.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of songs about Valentine's Day.
I still say Thanksgiving.
Whatever happened to a song about Flag Day? You know what I mean?
Well, why don't you go write one, man?
I got you.
You know who did a big Arbor Day song? Timbaland.
All right.
Please throw to Schwartz.
That was good.
Oh, man.
EJ liked it. EJ, you're smiling.
Yeah. It got the effect he was looking for.
That hit you somewhere between two ribs right over here. Just tickled you a little bit. All right, Schwartz. Thank you for joining us on this Thanksgiving Eve. How you doing?
I am doing great, and this report is sponsored by Skechers. Watch the Skechers World Champions Cup this December 4th, 5th, and 7th on ESPN and ABC. And we'll begin with the college football playoff rankings. No change in the top five. It's still Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Texas Tech. Oregon up to number 6. Ole Miss drops to 7. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Alabama round out the top 10. Oklahoma State has named Eric Morris as their new head coach. He led North Texas in one record this past season. From football, the Bills signed veteran wide receiver Brandon Cooks, who was waived by the Saints on Saturday. Now to the NBA, and we'll start with the Battle of Los Angeles.
Here come the Lakers the other way. Lucas got it, driving down the middle all the way. Got to the rim, lay it up and in. 22 first quarter points for Luka.
And he wasn't done there. John Ireland on Lakers Radio. Lakers beat the Clippers 135-103. Luka Doncic, 135-118. Luka Doncic, 43 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds. LeBron James adding 25 points and said he is improving.
At every game, I'm going to get better and better. Today was better than, the last game in Utah. And obviously, it was better than a week ago, my first game here. So, every game, every day, I continue to work on my body, continue to work on my wind, continue to work on my habits.
Lakers have now won 5 in a row, and they have wrapped up their group in NBA Cup play.
Again, LeBron with that wind and that wind talk.
Well, I like how he emphasized Utah, like high altitude. Like, give them a little bit of a break because that's a really tough place to play. Bro, they're saying now that LeBron is undecided about his future. Do you think that it's more likely that LeBron, this is all up for grabs and, you know, whatever way the wind blows is when he decides to retire, or that there's some kind of strategic, planned out retirement tour slash, I don't know, like a lot more hullabaloo?
Well, a lot depends on the results of the in-season tournament. No, I'm just, but I think he's going by the seat of his pants a little. I don't think he has a plan. Yeah, I don't know why I sense that. I just feel like it kind of reminds me of Tom Brady. It's going to be really hard to walk away. What's your sense?
I get the opposite view. I think LeBron's got a little more Aaron Rodgers in him where it's like everything's the thing. Like sentimentality, and this is the first time I ever got a triple-double, and I'm going to honor this was the first moment that I, you know, da-da-da. I think that he's going to do one of those very sentimental retirement tours because he needs as many, like, he needs to remind people at every turn just how many milestones he has hit.
Yeah.
If he's going to win this Jordan LeBron debate in the eyes of the public.
But this year, are you thinking this year or next year?
I think it's this year. I think this is it.
Think this season is it. Or you mean?
Then the tour starts. So let me amend that. Okay, gotcha. I think we get this season where it feels like everything's kind of organic. And then next year is the year where everything's planned out. It's like Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera. Like he gets the full on. Every stop he goes to, they sell out the arenas.
God, and he'll say heroes.
He'll say he's doing it to help the league, probably. Like, okay. He'll love this.
And he gets to pick which places he's going to play in because load management, he'll take some nights off. Or do you think in his last year he'll just decide, I'm going to go play for everybody?
No, he'll take nights off.
Play a lot of games, probably.
I mean, he'll play a lot, but he'll still take nights off. He's not the only one load managing.
I mean, you could always take the home games off.
Or like he could take, they play multiple games against like the war against the teams in the Pacific. So you just go ahead and load manage those away games. And, you know, he still has two left at the back end of the season
or
to go play and have his retirement or his tour.
I bet that he suits up, but his minutes go down. So maybe he actually does something like I'm going to do all 82 in my last season, but I'm only going to play 15, 20 minutes.
So
a game.
He turns 41 on December 30th. So he'd be 42 next year. I do think that you know, if he's smart, he doesn't want like late Kareem. I don't think he wants his people to remember him, like or like Wizard Jordan. Although people seem to forget that.
Yeah, no one.
But
talks
I
about
do
that.
Think
that's
that
my
like,
guy right there, Wizard
like
Jordan.
LeBron doesn't want to look too slow. So it's a, you know, you're right. 2 years maybe it does make sense, but I think he'd be a little bit worried about his image.
What I'm interested in is David Miniman in that ESPN report said that if James believes this could be his last season, something that sources close to James have insisted that he remains undecided about, he might feel even more responsibility to suit up for every game of what would then be a retirement tour. Is it possible he does a Chris Paul where like he's playing in the middle of this season and says, you know what, actually this is going to be the final run? Because that's essentially what Dave McMenamin is putting out there. If this is going to be the last season, he decides that in February or in January,
right?
Then you have to start the whole LeBron retirement then, which to me would be that, to be honest, like the Lakers are really good. Like, I don't know, like, the Thunder are so great, it may be an uphill battle, but they are, in theory, a title contender.
Yeah.
Why would he make it?
Taking the oxygen out of a potential playoff push?
Well, or the opposite. Does he take the oxygen, make it about himself, or would LeBron James announcing he's going to retire in, like, February or something galvanize? And all of a sudden, now it's turned. Now he realizes the team is good. They have a chance. He has a chance to go out on top. That's something Jordan did not do.
Right. I would think it'd be too risky to the chemistry to announce it if they're still playing well. Like, that's a big change. Like, if they're on fire, he can't throw that curveball. I understand what you're saying. Like, LeBron tends to make it about himself, but still, if they're really playing well and he's like in February, I don't think you could do that to your team.
How big of a distraction is it really? The guy's 41. This is not, you know, an out of nowhere. This isn't, you know, like totally different circumstances. Like Magic retires out of nowhere. He's at HIV. Like, it's a very different kind of thing where it'd be sending shockwaves. Who's going to really be shocked if LeBron says, you know what? I think this is going to be the final ride.
But he's still a productive player.
Yeah,
so,
25
I mean,
last
I mean,
night.
I think if he's going to make it about himself, I think he takes a day in the offseason and says, this is going to be my last year. I'm going to get to go to all the NBA buildings, whatever. And I think that's
you
really
all get
making.
To say goodbye to me.
You all get to say goodbye. This is for you!
Yeah, I kind of like
Sacramento.
I like your original.
This is for you.
Plan.
Denver, this is for you.
He yells every single place.
Utah, this is for you.
This is for you.
New Orleans.
Taco Tuesday.
What else we got, Pete?
Orlando improves to 3-0 in NBA Cup play. They beat the Sixers 144-103 and the Wizards over the Hawks 132-113. CJ McCollum with 43 points. College basketball, number 18, UCLA, taking on California.
Petritis into the corner for Bell. Takes the three. It's good! Chris Bell had 12 in the first half. Quick Trigger has him at 15 and a three-point bear lead.
That was the call on Cal Radio. California over number 18, UCLA, 80-72. Also from college basketball last night, number 3, Houston losing to number 17, Tennessee, 76-73. Now to the NHL, a milestone night for Stars captain Jamie Benn.
Wrap in front and the Stars score! They play it in front and Jamie Benn gets the goal. It's number 400 of his career. The captain gets the milestone here early in Edmonton.
That was Josh Bogorad with the call on Stars Radio. The Stars rip up the Oilers 8-3, as you heard Jamie Benn with his 400th career NHL goal. Nathan Bastian with 2 goals, and the Stars 7-1-1 in their last 9 games.
Schwartz, did you get a chance to see the Stars' new alternate jersey?
I did.
Sick.
How?
It's pretty impressive. Yeah. I actually, and you'd be surprised that I would say this, but I actually think the Rangers' alternate jersey looks pretty cool.
I think, they look great.
Even though I could, care less about them, I just think that the hockey
sweaters are going hard.
Yeah, they're doing a good job with them. Absolutely.
Is this the Dallas one that's got like neon green?
That's their original home jersey. They have an alternate jersey that kind of looks like their old jersey from the 2000s.
The old black, it's a black one.
Black and green, like the darker green.
The old logo.
Yeah,
with the new color scheme.
Yeah, a little bit of a mix between it, and it looks good. I like it.
If every team just goes back to what they wore in 1995, we'd all be happy.
But back in 95, it didn't look as cool as it does now. Like the Seahawks with Cortez Kennedy, that wasn't cool in 95, and now it's really cool.
That thing is sick.
Yeah, it wasn't at the time.
Giants throwbacks, awesome. Bills throwbacks, awesome. Kelly
Green
jerseys,
growing up, the Giants
awesome.
Uniform was not cool, and now it's really cool.
Everything about the 90s awesome. Is cool again.
Yeah, actually, the Giants are going back to the 70s, too, a lot, aren't they?
And there's even another Giant throwback that they've never gone back to. There's another helmet that they wore in, 75 that's got, a different NY than the other NY that they would have in their helmet. And you see the hats popping up in all these stores. I don't know why the Giants have never worn those for a game, too.
But and the 90s kind of feel like the 70s, too. The styles are a little bit similar, right? Everything is the 70s in one way or another.
Makes you wonder why teams changed in the first place. They're only going to go back to it because people want the old stuff.
Money, man.
Yeah, I my decades money. Theory that I'm sure the four of you will not agree with, that the 70s, 80s, and 90s all had a thing. The zeros, tens, and 20s do not have a thing. We've gotten this one.
We've done this one.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And by the way, most literature agrees with me totally that because the way technology changed, basically, the zeros and the tens have a lot of similarities.
I need to show you. I had an Instagram post show up on my feed a couple of days ago of a 2002 MTV Spring Break. And I need to show you this post. And you're going to tell me that this wasn't a generation that looked different than everything else. I mean,
who was performing?
That's early
50
in the
Cent,
2000s.
Fat Joe, who when he was still fat, not now when he's kind of slim, he was massive. Britney, I think, was there. The Destiny's Child was there.
Yeah.
This was a time, but it was a time in history.
What were you guys doing in 02?
College, baby.
Yeah, so she was probably down there, yeah. That's why she's grinning.
Don't look too closely in the background of that spring break.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Destiny's Child was there?
Yeah, and you look at the clothes and look at the fashion, it's totally a part of that era.
Gonna be honest, you know who was the real MVP of the early 2000s? Ashanti.
Oh, yeah, Ashanti. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even Schwartz.
Yeah. That was a name I remember.
Exactly. Yeah. Ashanti and Ja Rule couldn't miss. 888-710-4ISN. Peter, thanks so much.
That had to shock you that you got that nod out of me, a little bit, right?
It was validating, in fact. Multiple generations there. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, coming up next, Ohio State, Michigan. What's going to happen? We've got our predictions. And the Maggie Perloff King.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me.
Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mountain, next.
Who is the king of the mountain? Maggie and Perloff search for the greatest NFL team of all time.
All right, moving this up a little bit. Usually do this on Thursdays, but want to get it in today before the Thanksgiving holiday. And happy Thanksgiving Eve to everyone. Maggie Perloff, King of the Mountain, Pearl. It's been how many weeks in a row that the 1985 Bears have held the top spot as King of the Mountain? EJ, I think we're 4 weeks now into the Bears. Am I right about that?
I think you're right. I was going to say four.
Okay, so yeah. How we're doing this, if you're new, is we start off with 25 teams. 25 of the greatest NFL teams of all time. We made one the King of the Mountain. It was the 72 Dolphins. And then we spin a wheel each week for a challenger to see who could challenge the King of the Mountain. And it's determined by a Twitter poll. So the 1984 San Francisco 49ers held the spot for about 6 weeks. Took out a lot of really good teams. Now the 85 Bears finally dethroned the 84 49ers. And now the Bears have been occupying the top spot for the last month. So, we gave the wheel a spin. We have a challenger. But first, here are your 1985 Chicago Bears.
When William the Refrigerator Perry barged in for Chicago's final touchdown, the most one-sided game in Super Bowl history was complete. After 22 years of frustration, Chicago had finally recaptured its place at Pro Football's Summit. They dominated this game and this season as few teams had ever before. Yet the Bears also captured the country's imagination with their flair for excitement and fun. The Bears return home as world champions.
Their flair for excitement is fun, said in a monotone.
Wasn't fun for the offense's face.
Harry Callis could do no wrong.
That team was incredibly fun.
46-10, obviously, the final score in the Super Bowl. They were just an absolute wagon. The 85 Bears, I mean, what more do we say? First defense to lead the NFL in points allowed, yards allowed, and takeaways. And one of the most memorable and greatest teams ever. But Pearl, today a new and unique challenger. For the first time ever, in this Maggie and Perloff King of the Mountain, we are going all the way back to the 1960s. Here is the first team to ever win a Super Bowl, the 1966 Green Bay Packers.
Go, Pack, go!
Thousands of people here in the stands, and there are millions of people on television, and everyone looking, and all with speculation, to see what kind of a game the Green Bay Packers are going to play today. Right?
Right.
I want you to be proud of your profession. It's a great profession. You be proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today. Great deal for all the players in the league and everything else. Go out there and play this ball game like I know you can play it.
Let's go!
They demonstrated to their own satisfaction and to the AFL that they were indeed the finest football team in the world. The 1966 world title belongs to the big team from the small town.
Go, Pack, go!
There you go. That was Vince Lombardi with the pregame speech. 1966 Green Bay Packers, Pearl, beat Kansas City in the very first Super Bowl. Final score was 35-10. Bart Starr was the MVP of the league that year and the MVP of the game. Their offense was fourth in the league. Their defense was number one. They put 12 players into the Hall of Fame, 12 people into the Hall of Fame, 11 players, and obviously Lombardi ended the regular season with a 12-2 record.
Feels a little unfair to get a team from 1966 against even a team from 1985. If you look at the highlights, it's like, I don't know, Mac. I don't know about this matchup.
obviously. And I think this was sort of the tail end of the Packers run, too. Maybe the 1960 Packers, when Horning and Taylor were a little younger. I think this is going to be a Bears victory here.
Probably. I mean, this was Bart Starr. I believe this was his 11th season. But it's a fun rivalry. Obviously, one of the greatest in sports, Packers-Bears. One of the oldest and best. I think that the 66 Packers would probably be a little stunned to see how much the game had evolved in just 20 years.
Because
that defense would have probably been killing people.
Isn't it funny the difference between 66 and 85? But you get the feeling, at least I do, that the 85 Bears could compete with the 2005, I guess the Steelers won that year. So generally, I don't know, there was a big jump somewhere. First of all, the AFL and the NFL weren't fully merged in 66. The league got just bigger and much faster by 85. And I'm not saying the Bears were on this, but I think PEDs came into the game more. Mm-hmm. Guys got bigger and stronger. Feels like this was a bunch of plumber and firemen. I'm sorry, at 66.
Hell yeah, Pearl. Good take. Good take.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, when EJ recorded the video earlier and said 66 Packers, my first question was, who the hell watched that team?
Manny, get out of here. So this is a tough one because you're right. When did the actual change come? I don't know. Was it like the 78 Steelers or something like that? You know, probably the Steelers of the 70s would probably get the credit. Yeah.
Steelers, maybe the Cowboys of the 70s as
Cowboys
well.
Cowboys of the 70s as well.
Kind of got big time. I mean, NFL, what was the Heidi game was? It hadn't even happened yet. In 67, I think that was 67 when the NFL realized that all America wanted to do was watch NFL football on TV. So there was something changed here. But then again, the one thing I'll say, Vince Lombardi is definitely going to outcoach Mike Ditka. I mean, Vince Lombardi was the man. Vince Lombardi quotes are amazing. That guy was
true. What the hell is going on out here? Hell of a quote.
He was read like some Vince Lombardi stuff. That was awesome. So that might give them an advantage. And obviously, you do have to adjust for generations, right? Like, you have to figure the 66 Packers compared to their, you know, other 66 teams.
Yeah, I mean, well, you have the famous photo from this Super Bowl is Len Dawson smoking the cigarette at halftime, right?
Yeah.
That's from Super Bowl
One.
Was the forward pass legal in 1966?
Manny, we need to get you to Canton so you can...
That'd be nice. I would love to go to Canton. Are you drunk? Absolutely.
It's great. You can learn a little history.
I don't care.
See how the game evolved.
I just want to see the pottery in the Hall of Fame.
You call it the pottery?
Yeah, the pottery.
Come on, man.
It's pottery. Come on.
It's sculpture.
Pottery.
It's art.
Well, pottery is art.
I'm not getting into this with you, Manny.
Happy Thanksgiving, Maggie.
1966 Green Bay Packers challenging the 1985 Chicago Bears for who is the Maggie Perloff King of the Mountain.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
Packers have a dance? No shuffles back then?
Yeah. If the 2019 Chiefs could knock off those 85 Bears? In reality, if the 2019 Chiefs did play the Bears, there have been a lot of strategic advances since 85. I think that the pass game evolved since 85. So
Touch the quarterbacks, too.
Yeah, you can't touch the quarterbacks now. And then we've seen another major evolution this year with the new kickoff rule. And everybody going forward on fourth down, the game is even much better now.
How about
than
the
it was
kickers
5 years ago.
Nailing 60 yarders?
Yeah. I think you have an advantage now. I was reading the other day, passing yards are way down in large part because of the kickoff rule. The fields are much shorter. And also, everyone knows to go for it on fourth down. The game has changed completely. So there's not as much back and forth. You can possess the ball longer. It's a big impact. We never saw any of that coming.
Dave Rolecki in the chat says, Jerry Kramer was a starting guard for the Packers and weighed 243 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
What's Derrick Henry weigh?
250 pounds.
Yeah, you need to add 100 pounds to that, basically, to play guard now in the NFL. Certainly play tackle. Okay, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Coming up, it's The Great Debate, Thanksgiving style.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.